I have on mine, I wear them once a year on Roundup Sunday. Bought them in 1990 to make the mission trip to Russia. They still feel about the same. Don't quite look the same, but you don't wear them out too fast, just wear them once a year. Amen. Anyway, I'm going to do a little different this morning. We've been going through the book of John, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and we'll get right back to that next week. But I'm going to kind of surrender a little bit to the news that's going on, and maybe I'll share just a little bit of a word of testimony. If you haven't noticed, in spite of what the news media says, war is going on between Iran and Israel, and that's a big deal biblically. And so I'm going to say something about that a little bit this morning. I don't know when's the first time I've got two Bibles up here. Somebody says he's going to give us a double blast this morning. That is the first Bible that I had after I got saved. Got saved at age 22. The girl that wouldn't go anywhere with me but church bought it for me after I got saved. And of course, she's been my wife now for 67 years. We're talking about Sonia, of course. She has kind of had a bad last few days. She's not here at church this morning. Anyway, got written in here a lot of things. My first Sunday school class, after I'd been saved not very long, I remember when the preacher said, "You got to teach Sunday school." I said, "I don't know the Bible. I hadn't been saved very long." He said, "You learn it." And I was more afraid of those 11-year-old boys in that class that morning than I am of you today, for sure. I still got a lot of their names written here. Now, this thing is snowing all over me. You know what I mean by that? Anybody? I mean, especially with a black suit on every time. I speckled all over. But anyway, I still remember some of these names. I've got some preachers' names written down where they blessed me in a particular sermon. I got a young man's name here called Richard Saunders. I remember Richard, 11 years old. He was crippled. I remember going to his house and picking him up on Sunday morning and literally picking him up in my arms and going down the steps and getting him in the car and getting into my Sunday school class. A bunch of names like that in there. What I want to really say about it is this is a Scofield 1907 Bible. How many of you have those? Raise your hand, would you? Raise your hand. All right. Not as many as I really expected. This is pretty much Independent Baptist Bible for so many, many years. And the ones we give away here is gift Bibles quite often. That's what they are, the 1907 Scofield. Now, it's a King James Version, of course, but it's a study Bible. And so the notes, the footnotes, and the chapters, and all of that, the chain reference, all of that in it, has been around a long time. Now, they published it in 1907, and I still only recommend the old edition. And they've got some new editions of it, but they changed things, and that's I'm in disagreement with that. But anyway, the Scofield Reference Bible, there's a board of men that was involved. They were scholars. Good men differ on various things, but the essentials are always there. And if you have one, it's a good study Bible. And I bring all that up just to say, to bring it up to the current news today, when the wife and I got married a long time ago, and I was a new Christian. She had been saved several years, and of course that's the reason she would only go with me to church, and that's why I got saved. But after we got married, we for so many years, before schedules, and especially the ministry itself, kind of messed it up later years, but the last thing we'd do, we'd get in bed at night, and I'd read a chapter or she'd read a chapter. That was our last thing at night, and that's a good plan. Sometime I might doze off while she was reading or vice versa, but we were pretty faithful with that. And I remember she almost a little bit aggravated at me because I wanted to read again chapters 35, 36, 37, and 38 in the book of Ezekiel. Not only what they said in the text, but I wanted to read something about what Scofield's notes had to say about it. So this was back there in my old office. Brother Parsons has been gracious to leave a few of my books around. Most of them stored in that hotel, and the FBI couldn't find them now. But I want you, if you have a Scofield, and if you're not, that's okay. It's King James Bible, but the footnotes is what I want to refer to a little bit here in the Scofield Bible. If you were to look on about page 84, 83, I'm trying to remember that exactly, in the book of Ezekiel, let's see, I got to go about 10 more pages over here. He condenses a statement here that fits today. You know, I think about it, I've been pastoring now, of course, if I make it, I guess, to this January, can you believe I'm supposed to have been retired for, what, 4 years? 4 years. Anyway, a lot of things are happening fast today, folks. I'm made conscious often that this Sunday might be my last time to say something for the Lord. Every day might be that way with every one of us. We don't know. Of course, death can come at any time, but also the Lord is wrapping up his program, his long prophetic program, his prophecies that he made. And so that's why I get a little excited when I see the news fulfilling the Bible. And I measure the news by what the Bible has to say. And by the way, that's the only way you're going to get it really true. There's a whole lot of fake stuff going on. And of course, election time, it is really cranked up now. It's almost like they give each other a merit badge for who can invent the next big lie. It's just that bad. But that's the sign of the age, too. I've often called this age the age of deception. And, of course, we'll finally ultimately be the great man of deception himself. The Antichrist will rule for a while. I believe it'll not take place until after the church is called out to those that are saved, will be raptured when the trumpet sounds. I hope you're ready to go. I'm looking here, though, on page 883, and I want you to notice that the print has shrunk up in this original Bible quite a bit since I got it. So I'm going to have a little bit of help this morning. And I was in the Boy Scouts years ago, and they taught me to always be prepared. All right. Funning with you a little bit. But I want to read you a footnote, just a little bit of it here in Scofield Bible. If you've got one, turn to Ezekiel and look on page 883. I'm making it easy for you to find and read this footnote. You'll notice on these chapters here that I just mentioned, 36 through 38, Scofield designates some headlines. He said, here's the general theme. He's saying this now on page 885. General theme, Israel in the land during the kingdom age. All right, that moves a little past us to the age that Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom. He'll be the only answer and the only salvation that Israel is going to have. They're in trouble today. They are surrounded. They're fighting a war on four fronts right now. And seemingly the anti-Semitic spirit has moved and revived again and is big right now. Here's what he says here. And if you want to get the setting of it, chapter 38, Scofield's note says at the top, the prophecy against God. And then beginning the word of God, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel now, saying, son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, prophesy against them. And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws. And I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them, clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, and all of them handling swords. Now he starts naming these nations. Persia. You do know that Persia is Iran. And the name was changed hardly 100 years ago to Iran, but Persia. Persia, Ethiopia, still named the same. Libya, still named the same. All of them with shield and helmet. Gomer, some argue about who that might be. Some think Germany, some think others. And all his bands. The house of Togarmah, probably Turkey, of the north quarters, all his bands, many people with thee. It goes on down telling how they're going to get together, going to line together, and how they're going to come against the nation of Israel on the mountains of Israel. And then you see that God intervenes and they are supernaturally destroyed. Now, we can know some things that folks that studied the Bible even 100 years ago would not have known. We know today we're in the nuclear age. We know that in World War II, the first atom bomb was dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki over there, what it did. If you want to see what was written ahead of the nuclear age, you would go to Zechariah, and we can't do it. I only got 20 minutes, and you don't listen that fast, all right? So if you want to see what the atom bomb is, nuclear age, nuclear weapons do, you can read the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, last verses of it. The plague that God allows to happen is described exactly as to what a nuclear bomb does. In fact, you want to go to the library and look it up. Look up what happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan when the bomb was dropped. People's eye sockets were burned out before they could fall to the ground. Their flesh was consumed off their bones. That is described exactly in Zechariah 14. I pastored a country church for 3 years before I came here up in Webster area, Sumter County. And I was teaching on a Wednesday night, and I made a statement about the Bible described a nuclear blast. There was a young man in the service, fairly young then, probably in his 30s. He was a school teacher and wasn't saved. So he challenged me, said, "I don't believe that." So I read out of Zechariah to him, and I challenged him, "Will you go to the school library tomorrow? Will you look it up in the library and come back and tell me if I was right or wrong?" He come back, he said, "Preacher, you were dead right." I couldn't believe how similar the words were. This described the same thing as to what the nuclear bomb did, as to what this you read me out of the book Bible. Listen, folks, the Bible predicts stuff. It is going to happen. Now, there's a big war coming. That's what I say is in current news right now. Even the politicians now, the talk of the election, several of them, Trump has, and even Harris has said that we are in danger of nuclear war now. So-called premier, president, whatever they call Putin in Russia, he's warned them that if you threaten me far enough and do enough bad stuff and you shoot these long-range missiles made in America at me, I'm going to push the nuclear button. Now, that's how close we are. I don't want that to happen. I don't even think Putin wants it to happen. Nobody wants it to happen. But did you notice what I read in the text? God's going to put hooks in their jaws. You know when a fish is caught, he don't want to go with you. He don't want to go to the frying pan. But you got a hook in him. And when you pull, that hook's going to pull him in, right? And we got these nations being hooked, lining up, being pulled in. And they're ultimately going to fulfill the Bible. Interesting how over 2,000 years ago, about 2,500 years ago, those verses I just read were written. And God, who knows the end from the beginning, tells us ultimately. So we do know. We do know. I've told you before, I was in I started to say doctor's office, but you actually go to the waiting room first, don't you? And we've all been there and waited a while. And well, I was in the waiting room, and there was a pretty good crowd in there that day. And I looked around, didn't see nobody I knew, I didn't think. Trouble is, a lot of folks know me, and I don't know them. And I sat down, and everybody was having a casual talk. It was just normal. And the guy got up clean across the room and come walking up to me, and he said out loud enough everybody could hear him, "Preacher, do Do you believe Jesus is about to come? I said, I sure do, just as loud as he said it. Even people that don't necessarily claim to be Bible students know something big is building. Something is about to happen. And the truth of the matter is the Bible's being fulfilled. How much time we got? I don't predict anything, set a date on it. That's God's timing. But he tells us we won't know the day nor the hour, but he does also, Paul says we'll know the times and the seasons. So we ought to know the times and the seasons. So I'm saying simply to you, yeah, there is a big war predicted. It's coming. The nations have hooks in their jaws being pulled to do just exactly what the Bible said. I read those names of the nations there, starting out with Persia, which is Iran, right now in the news. It is amazing seeing on your news. You know, we're a generation that can watch the bombs exploding in the air. We see it on our living room TV. Big difference. I remember when, I really date myself now, I remember mother sitting inside an old radio with a lot of static on it during World War II. I was only about 4 or 5 years old. And mama kept up best that she could. There was one particular commentator she listened to. He had a whine and a crying sound in his voice, and he never said nothing positive. It was always negative. Now, I remember that even as a kid. His name was Gabriel Heater. Anybody here ever listen to Gabriel Heater? I see several hands. He gave a report on the war, and Mama kept up with that thing. But that was the best we could do. You get a newspaper once a week back then out in the country where we live. And so all news was old news by the time you got it. But now, basically, almost watch missile by missile on your TV. We've come to the latter days, folks. We have come to what the Bible predicted. So I say all that just to say these nations are named. They are aligned. They do have hooks in their jaws. They're being pulled into this thing, even though you'd think common sense, and they don't want that. What we're seeing right now in Ukraine is nothing more than a hook in the jaw of Russia. I didn't read it, but I might go back and do it if I can find it here again, where Schofield's notes here names these nations. I was trying to, I'm telling you what, I am getting snowed on. Anyway, I wouldn't take anything for this old Bible, but it is really, really worn out. But I look back on page 883, and I'm going to read Schofield's note a little further at the bottom. It's not a long note. It says here that the primary reference is to the northern European powers headed up by Russia, all agree. This is Schofield's note. The whole passage should be read in connection with, he gives a bunch of verses that fit in. He says, Gog is the prince, Magog is his land. That's pretty well agreed on. Then he says this, the reference to Meshach and Tubal is Moscow and Tobolsky. That's two main cities in Russia. Now, remember, this was Schofield's note in 1907. That's a long time before your color TV. I mean, long time back. But what was he going by? He was going by what the Bible had to say. And other notes talk about Israel being back in the land. Now, if you drop back over here to about chapter 36, you'll find out that Israel divided. You remember the 10 tribes taken into captivity and Judah being the main tribe, even the tribe which the Lord Jesus Christ came through. But he tells us, we'll go all the way back to, I can't do it for time's sake, but if you went all the way back to chapter 35, you'd find out it's a time when Israel is being gathered from the nations. They've been scattered for 2,500 years to all other nations. And God says he's going to open the graves of the nations. He's not talking about the literal hole in the ground. He's talking about the nations that absorbed the captivity of Israel. And they're going to have, as it were, a resurrection from those nations brought back. And he says in the next chapter that the tribes of Israel will be united. That's happened a long time ago. Israel has been going back for years. May 14, 1948, they came back and raised the flag over what we call Israel now, Holy Land, improperly named Palestine by the Romans a long time ago. But anyway, they came back in 1948. Right down here on the corner across from my bookstore where you see the college building now, used to be a movie theater. Right there, I don't know if it's a Pizza Hut or what it is now, right on the corner. And as a young kid, I could go to that movie for 9 cents, 9 pennies. You said you went all the time. No, 9 pennies were hard to come by. But I went a lot. And they had a newsreel after it would come, but if it was a double feature, two shoot 'em up cowboys or whatever, there'd be a newsreel between. And that newsreel wasn't long, I don't know, 5, 10 minutes. But it'd show stuff happening around the world. And I remember so well in 1948. Of the newsreel showing the Jews and the Arabs fighting that war when they came back into Palestine, into Jerusalem. Anyway, with that said, I would hear people talk Bible. Some of them didn't know what they were. I remember a guy that lived not too far away. He was pretty much a drunk. But somehow or another, he'd learned some Bible. And when he'd kind of get his tongue loosened up with the alcohol, he'd start telling all the neighbors about this stuff that was going to happen. You know, he knew enough to confuse people, but he also knew enough to scare them a little bit. And in that news, during those newsreels, it was telling us when Russia got the bomb after World War II, and they experimented with the bomb. And I remember it very, very well, being on that news. And I'd heard that guy talk enough. I decided I was going to take care of myself. So I bought me some extra bullets for my single shot 22. And I went camping. I figured if this weekend it's fixing to blow, they're not going to find me. Now that was stupid kid thinking. But there's a lot of adults think just as stupid as that. You say, I got a hole in the ground and it's well stocked with food. You better have a hole in the sky. You better be ready for Jesus to come. That's the only security I can talk to you about. But no, Ukraine is likely to be the trigger. So the war's going there. You see, I would never say Putin was a good guy. I never take his side. But I can see why that he is going to continue to fight in Ukraine. Let me ask you a question. If Texas was to try to secede from the Union, and that would be a good thing, I'd move to Texas. But anyway, I shouldn't say that. Somebody will twist my words around. But if it did, and Russia come in to fight us about fighting Texas, that's exactly what's going on in Ukraine. I simplified it for you, and some of you are not going to like that because, you know, in a sense, Ukraine, in the eyes of Putin and Russia, they almost speak the same language. They're almost the same people. They were part of the Soviet Union for so long. I'm just telling you, God's got a hook, and he's pulling all this alignment of nations together. And I know I'm on the radio, and I spoke to Brother Parsons. I said, I'm going to deviate from going in John this morning. I'm going to say something about what's going on in the news. So I'm not doing it behind his back. He knows what we're talking about here. So the truth is, I'm seeing the Bible come together in such great detail till it is almost unbelievable. But God knew it all from the beginning. So, yeah, Russia's got a hook in the jaw. It is Ukraine. I'm not saying that, they wanted their independence from Russia. Good, fine, but I understand why. If you had a disobedient kid and he ran to the neighbor's house and you went after him, all right, that's getting too simple, isn't it? That's too common. Anyway, that's about the picture. That's the hook in the jaw that is happening right now. But the nations are being brought together. Say, why are you saying all that? I'm just telling you, number one, if you're not saved, get saved. Quick. I don't know. It may be 10 years before this thing shapes up, but it might not be 10 days or 10 weeks. I don't know. I just know the Bible is going to keep on till everything is, men are going to continue to fulfill it. I said a while ago, when I hear the news, I measure it by the Bible. I see what the Bible has to say about it. Yes, nuclear time is coming. What we see now called anti-Semitism is the hate of the Jew. Isn't it an amazing thing that one nationality of people through all of history has been hated above any other group? Read your history. Why? The devil, it's a satanic hate. Why? Because they are the ones that the seed of the woman was predicted to come that would bruise Satan's head. The Messiah came through Israel. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He came through the seed of the woman. He was the seed of the woman, not the seed of man, but of the woman. God overshadowed Mary. You know the virgin birth. That's why it is so important to have a sinless Savior that could die and pay for our sins. He had to be virgin born. And that's what the Bible teaches. Now, if you were Satan and there was a champion going to be raised up to bruise your head, to defeat you, you would hate that and you would fight it from happening. So you go all the way through the Bible, go on from Genesis to Revelation, you're going to see the warfare going on between God and the devil and the satanic hate. As we look in the election today and all this talk about all the hate and all that, you need to look past whether it's a woman president. You need to look past whether you like Trump's demeanor or not. You need to say who is right on the issues. Which one is the biblical moral issue that's important? And I've said this, and I'm not trying to make you ladies mad, because I'm not blaming you, but Bible-believing ladies will understand. The truth of the matter is the women will probably decide this election. And what's going to happen? I don't know. If Trump gets in, can he save us? No. But he might kick the can down the road and buy us some time. But folks, when we vote somebody in that don't even know what a man is and a woman is, and if a baby boy wants to smile at a doll, they say, uh-huh, we got to change his sex. Just as stupid and idiotic as it can be. Listen, God didn't make a mistake. He made a male and female, the scripture says. He didn't make a mistake. So you're going to say, God, you made a mistake. I'm going to change this boy to a girl or vice versa. You're into an area that's none of your business, and you're challenging God. So we in a day and age now where America is going to give God an answer, a challenge, if you please, to his sovereignty or his will or what he says in his word against this thing. Listen, it's not science. The Bible speaks of the day when it will be science falsely so-called. We're there. Paul warned Timothy, science falsely so-called. And the truth is, we're there. Now, I'm just saying this, and I guess I'm saying it because I don't know all the Bible, but from the time my wife and I got married and I got saved at 22, this Bible shows it's been used a lot, this first Bible here. Since then, I've worn out, this will be my fifth wide margin Cambridge, which I changed to that when I went to preach because I wanted to write notes in the margin. And that's good, except now they're cold and I can't read them. Smeared too and all that. But I've worn them out. Now, I've watched this for a long time. And a lot of good men, and I don't necessarily 100% agree with them. There's a lot of folks say, no, this thing, this war, this it's often by Bible students called World War III. They said, well, it's going to come after the tribulation. It might. That'd be 7 years. But you and I, if we see it coming after the tribulation, 7 years tribulation period, according to the book of Daniel, Daniel's 70th week, if that be true, then fine. The rapture, I believe the rapture will come before the trib, because the tribulation is given to the Jews, not given to the church. From chapter 4 to Revelation 22, the church disappears until it's at the very last chapter again. If the rapture is about to take place, we're living right at the end verse of Revelation chapter 3, Laodicean church age. Anybody would be honest, says the church is not what it used to be. The best are not fired up like they used to be. The best don't hold the same standards that they used to hold. And so many have gotten to the place that they don't preach anything close to the gospel. And they've rewritten the Bible 230, 40, 60 times, whatever it is, to make it agree with what they think instead of what God said. Sad, but that is where we're at. Now, if you read through these verses, and I'm out of time, you'll find out God has a purpose in Ezekiel 35 through 38, 39. That is that the nations will know who he is, know his name. They don't know it now. They don't know it where it's Buddha, Allah, or whatever else. No. The Lord is jealous over his name. And the day is going to come that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. I don't think we're far from that. So what's important about the news? Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Time's up, Brother Smith. Okay, 866.